Although many people think of heart disease as a man's problem, women can and do get heart disease. In fact, heart disease is the number one killer of women in the United States. And joining us this morning to tell us more about it is Dr. Lubna Wani, an assistant professor of medicine at Upstate Medical University. Thanks. Welcome for to coming in today, Dr. Wani. Thank you for having me.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I also don't want to forget to mention that the American Heart Association is having an annual heart walk run that's going to take place this year on March 31st, and you can get more information about it on our website, healthlinkonair.org. So, Dr. Wani, women can and do get heart disease.
Absolutely, absolutely. As you said, it's the number one killer of women over the age 25 in the United States.
That's pretty shocking, actually.
It is.
I read somewhere that it kills nearly twice as many women in the U.S. than all types of cancer, including breast cancer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that's what's important here. We women have, you know, traditionally just been worried about breast cancer, and we leave heart disease at, you know, the back door. We don't worry about that, but that's not the fact. American Heart Association did a survey in 1986 and found only 40% of the women were aware that heart disease can affect them, and in fact, it is the leading killer.
It's really interesting because, as you said, I think the public consciousness is really, like I said in the introduction, that heart disease really affects men. It's men getting heart attacks. And always think of women somehow have some kind of a protective something protective about their hormones or whatever that protects them from having heart disease.
And that is, in a way, true. Women, the risk of heart disease actually doubles in women after menopause. So it really takes a lead after that. But we have to realize that there are other risk factors for heart disease. Our hormones cannot protect us against those. The risk factors for heart disease are women in obesity. And, you know, it's shocking that 2 out of 3 women in the United States now are obese.
That's shocking in general.
Yes.
that the population in general in the United States is struggling with obesity.
Right.
We're going to get to those specific risk factors in a minute, but tell us more about what does heart disease look like in a woman? How does it manifest it in women? Is it different than in men?
So heart disease has different components. You know, the common one that we worry about is what we call the coronary artery disease. That's the common heart attack. So that is the most common form of heart disease. There are other forms of heart disease that can affect us. There's stroke, which is kind of linked to heart disease, high blood pressure with its complications, high cholesterol with its complications. You know, you can develop peripheral vascular disease. You can have decreased blood flow to the legs from blockage of vessels. So these are the common type of heart disease. But I think what we are referring here mostly is the heart attack. That's the coronary artery disease, where the blood vessels in your heart get blocked by excess cholesterol. They go into spasm, and basically a part of your heart dies. And that is what is heart attack. And, you know, heart is an organ that cannot regenerate its tissue. You know, if we injure ourselves, you know, we can heal that injury, but the heart has a tough time healing. And when it does heal, it gives rise to scar. And the heart pumps blood to all our body, and when a part of it is scarred, it cannot pump that blood effectively to various parts of our body. So that's essentially what we are focusing here is the coronary artery disease, blockage of blood vessels in the heart.
And as you alluded to before when you mentioned hypercholesterolemia, I mean, obviously if your diet is such or your blood, if you measure the cholesterol level in your blood, the tendency to have hypercholesterolemia will often lead to the narrowing of the arteries. It lays the plaque down in the arteries.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
All these things are kind of interrelated. High
absolutely.
Blood pressure damages the arteries as well.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
all of these kind of are I don't want to say secondary, but they're all part of the whole picture of what leads to eventually the heart attack
exactly.
or the stroke.
Yes, it's multifactorial.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot written of late, I think, talking about how a heart attack looks and feels very different in a woman than it does in a man, and therefore leading many women to ignore these symptoms because they're not quote-unquote classic or typical symptoms. Tell us what you generally tell women to notice.
First, I want to stress that chest pain is the most common symptom of heart disease. There's no going away from that.
Men and women.
Men and women. It's the most common symptom of heart disease. But when women have other subtle symptoms, you know, the symptoms that women can experience can be fatigue. They can just be tired, and they'll never attribute to that to the heart.
Right, especially these days, women are tired all the time.
Because, you know,
we're sleep deprived or doing too many jobs. Right?
Yes, yes. But if you think of it in a way, you know, heart supplies blood flow to all our body, our brain, and when it's not functioning well, it can make you fatigued, it can make you tired. Shortness of breath is another very common symptom of heart disease, and smokers are more prone to this. So women who smoke, they may think, you know, this is probably because I smoke. But shortness of breath, even like at rest, with minimum activity, when they're doing their housework, when they're out running, that can be a symptom of heart disease. Mm-hmm. So these are the most common symptoms of heart disease.
I read somewhere things like nausea or even dizziness sometimes can be.
Yes. So if you're having a chest pain that is associated with nausea, dizziness, lightheadedness, you feel faint, your heart is racing, those can be symptoms of heart disease.
In your estimation, why do you think it? First of all, do you think that more women that this is shown that this has been an increase in incidence in women?
Absolutely, absolutely. As I said, since 1984, the number of female deaths from cardiovascular disease has exceeded that of men. And although heart disease incidence is decreasing in men because maybe they're treated better, they're picked up earlier, heart disease in women continues to be on the rise.
It strikes me as similar to something else I remember reading, is that things like alcoholism, which was always seen as a male disease or primarily a male disease, also has increased in women, or problems secondary to smoking. So
exactly.
Well, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to come right back right after a short break. We'll have more with Dr. Lubna Wani, and we'll be talking about heart disease. Stay with us. Welcome back to HealthLink On Air. Linda Cohen along with Dr. Lubna Wani, and we're talking about heart disease in women. Now, before the break, Dr. Wani, you were characterizing the kinds of symptoms that women have that may be a little bit different than men, but what's very interesting to me is that you stress the fact that chest pain is generally the most prominent symptom.
Exactly. And, you know, chest pain can be of different kind. It can be something that you can have while sitting. You may feel pressure on your heart. You may feel an elephant sitting on your chest. You may just feel that your heart is, you know, just your whole chest is kind of becoming tight. This chest pain may go to your left arm. It can go to your jaw. It can go to your teeth. And you know, Linda, I want to stress here that a recent study done by AHA actually stressed that 64% of the women, I mean, this was shocking even to me, who die from heart disease had no previous symptoms. So I want to stress here with the women that, you know, we need to be screened. You need to see your doctor. You need to get a physical. You need to be screened for risk factors of heart disease. Heart disease is scary. It can creep up on you. And again, 64% of the women had no symptoms.
It's interesting that you, when you characterize the kinds of symptoms you might experience at the moment of a heart attack, how important it is then to recognize it and to call for help and not to necessarily wait.
Sure.
Because, as you said, you might have no idea
that this is
life-threatening.
Again, you know, the American Heart Association came up with specific guidelines for women in heart disease. And this, you know, in 1999 is when the first guidelines came out, when the American Heart Association realized that women are not like men. They're different. They need to be treated differently. They may have different symptoms. And these guidelines starting coming out in 1999. And the latest guidelines for women and heart disease came out in 2001.
Tell us what some of those guidelines
are. Sure. And, you know, in that, again, AHA conducted a survey, and they found that 43% of the women, when told that, you know, you may be having a heart attack, would not call 911 as the first thought. You know, I think we as women, we are mothers first, we are wives first, we put our health at the last thing. So I want to stress, if you have any concerns, please get checked. And if you have any of these symptoms that we discussed, please call 911.
So the American Heart Association guidelines are what are the symptoms you should be looking for?
Exactly.
That's what you were referring to.
They are a huge guidelines. They start from symptoms, risk factors, and how we treat them. They're mostly for physicians, but I think it's a wonderful thing for women to know. If you go on our website, I gave a talk on this, and it's there. If any of our listeners are interested, they can go on our website here.
Well, let's help them out right now. Let's talk a little bit about the risk factors.
Exactly.
What are the risk factors for women? You said that the chance of heart disease increases, or the tendency toward heart disease increases after menopause,
right,
because of the protective factors,
right,
perhaps.
So I want to stress first, the biggest risk factor for heart disease in women is smoking. So smoker women, they have the same chances of getting heart disease as a man of their age. So, you know,
so even before menopause,
exactly,
smoking is
the most
is
common risk factor. Obesity, if your waist is greater than 35, if your BMI is high.
Tell us what your BMI is.
About 30.
No, I mean, what does it stand for?
It's basically your weight adjusted for your height.
So it's body mass index.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then the other big risk factor is diabetes. If you have sugar issues, if you're a diabetic, if any of your family members have diabetes, that's your mother, your daughter, your sister, you are at a risk of getting diabetes and heart disease. We call diabetes as a coronary artery eclon. That means it's the risk factors for getting heart disease and complications are same as a woman who already has heart disease.
So diabetes, you're saying, is a precursor, or is
exactly
it basically makes you
exactly
much more vulnerable.
And you know, diabetes has so many complications. Females who are diabetic, again, they are very prone not to have the typical symptoms of heart disease. In diabetes, affects and damages our nerves, our pain receptors.
So you may not even feel
you may not
the
even
symptoms.
Feel chest pain. So diabetes is a big risk factor. Of course, high cholesterol, if you have high cholesterol, and that's not just from your diet, it could be familial. If your family members have high cholesterol, you're prone to get high cholesterol. It's not just that you're eating wrong, it may be genetic. You need to be checked for high cholesterol.
So it may run in your family, even though you might even eat a low-fat diet,
exactly,
you just may run a high cholesterol.
I tell my patients, if I starve you for a week and check your cholesterol, it's still going to be high if it is because of your family history. Physical inactivity, if you are sedentary, you don't walk, you don't exercise, that's a big risk factor. And that's easy to modify. You know, we can walk more, exercise more, that helps. Also, if you have a history of heart disease in your family, that means if you have a male relative, that's a father, brother, or son, who got heart disease when he was less than 55, that puts you at a high risk of heart disease. If you had a female who is less than 65 and has heart disease, you are at a risk of getting heart disease.
So in general, if any family history of someone in your family having heart disease.
Close family. Yes. Yes, that puts you at a high risk. High blood pressure, and I want to stress that. High blood pressure, American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. High blood pressure has no symptoms again. So, you know, there are myths out there that high blood pressure gives you headache. It's not true. High blood pressure is very silent. You have no symptoms till it actually causes damage to your body, till it damages your heart, your kidneys. That's when you have the symptoms, and that's late. So please get your blood pressure checked as early as 20. You need to have your blood pressure checked every year.
And what's interesting to me is that most of these things you're talking about are not something that necessarily that basically affects you over time. In other words,
exactly,
all these things, mm-hmm, if they're coming together, whether it's high blood pressure or hypercholesterolemia or any of these symptoms, you know, these factors that you're mentioning, they can be affecting you for so many years,
and you may not,
and
know,
you may
about
not
it.
Know it.
Exactly. You may not know about it. You may feel you're healthy. The other significant risk factors are if you've had pregnancy-related complications, if you had high blood pressure during pregnancy, if you had what we call gestational diabetes, that's diabetes during pregnancy.
Yes, some people do get diabetes during pregnancy,
right,
I've
right.
noticed.
And those people are at very high risk of getting diabetes and getting heart disease. Also, women who have what we call connective tissue diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, they are more at risk of getting heart disease.
So it sounds like, you know, there are many, many factors that contribute. But one of the messages that I think you're giving us is that you need to really be monitored and checked. So an annual physical with the doctor. I mean, I know a lot of people will say, I haven't gone to the doctor in 20 years, women particularly, because most of their concern is for their children, for their husbands or spouses or their other family members. And I think the message here is that...
Absolutely, please. Even starting in your early 30s, get a physical. It's very simple. You come in, we check your blood pressure. We'll tell you how your weight is doing. You can get blood work to be, your cholesterol needs to be checked. And you don't need to do it every year, really. If your cholesterol is good, every 4 or 5 years is pretty fine. But blood pressure is something that can change very rapidly. So you do need to get your blood pressure checked every year.
So in general, I know that this is something we talk about all the time on this show, but if you lead a healthy lifestyle, and let's talk about what that is, you can avert many of these potential damaging contributors to heart disease.
Absolutely. And the first thing is maintaining your weight. Very important. Weight, you know, obesity is a risk factor for many diseases, and especially heart disease in women. Also exercising. And what I stress is you need to do 30 minutes of exercise 5 days or more a week. And you don't need to sweat. You don't need to go to the gym. Simple, brisk walking is very important. Some people tell me, oh, you know, I walk so much at work. No, please take out half an hour from your day and dedicate it to exercise. Go out and walk. Walk on your treadmill. Do anything. Do a moderately, you know, fast physical activity. If you want to do, you know, 1 hour every other day, that's important. Exercise averts many, many diseases, including heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure.
And diet, obviously, is a crucial one.
Diet is very important, and I, in fact, have a handout here. These are specific dietary guidelines that AHA has come out with. And basically what it stresses on is a low-fat diet, low-sugar diet, and a Mediterranean diet, which has been stressed, which is high in fruits and vegetables. You need to keep your salt intake very low, less than 1.5 grams a day. You need to have omega-3 fish oils. They are very beneficial in treating high cholesterol and also averting heart disease.
So there's really a lot that you can do.
Absolutely. There's a lot. If we just try to adjust our lifestyle, it'll be very helpful.
And when in some cases where you mention it's familial, like having a hypercholesterolemia is familial, in that case, you might need to be on some medication.
Yes, yes. And, you know, with medications, we have come out with so many wonderful medications.
All the statins have been shown to be very, very beneficial.
Very effective, very beneficial in preventing heart disease and treating. And if you have any side effects, you can be monitored by your doctor for that. And, you know, just taking one pill a day, you know, can prevent you from getting heart disease.
Well, this is such important information, and I hope that women will take it seriously, because clearly it is, as we said, the number one killer of women in this country, and it can be avoided. It's preventable, which I think is the biggest message here. So hopefully people are paying attention and listening to that, you know, keeping their weight down, leading an active lifestyle and watching their diet and getting the annual checks or the regular checks of blood pressure and overall health. Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this very important message with us. My guest has been Dr. Lubna Wani, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Upstate Medical University. We'll be right back after the news, and we're going to hear about a great chef with some insights as to how to make school lunches healthier. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.